episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Remember that advert? Deep Heat. This is Be Told. Episode number 30. June 10th. What is it? June the 24th. The 24th of June. That's another 6-6-6-6-6-6-25. Be Told. Trying to catch up so I can do episode number 33 next week. And I will be doing episode number 33 next week, so I have to come on here and talk to myself. And maybe, I'm not sure if Martha will turn up, but I did mention to him last week if he's quite welcome to turn up. What foresight that man has. He thinks logically. Because, you know, this bomb, bombing rain. It's like the Beach Boys parody song. It was actually, I don't know if it was the Beach Boys, but I think they might have cashed in on it. It was a Beach Boys sound like to the sound of Barbara Ann that came out about 1980. Last time they were going on about the Iranians. Now, this is, interestingly, this is how the SAS came to prominence out of nowhere. This Men in Black arrived on, there was an Iranian hostage scandal in Britain, and they'd taken over some wherever Iranians hang out, the Iranian headquarters, whatever it was. And I haven't gone into this yet to look at it to see if it's how staged it was, but it was staged, I'll tell you right now. Because if they wanted to do it secretly, they wouldn't have done it in the middle of the fucking day so that everyone could see them, all in black, hanging off the side of the helicopter. And leapt off the roof and abseiled down the building. Now, this they had never been seen before. They'd been quite secret up till then. But they wanted everyone to know about 22 SAS, 22, 22, 22. You know, again, this is the numerology. They leapt off, flew through the buildings, and apparently went seamlessly. Now, that's a load of old cobblers because it didn't actually go that seamless. One of the guys, I think it was a Fijian guy, got his legs stuck, and I think he caught on fire briefly. And quite got reasonably injured. They don't talk about that one. They love the mystique. And I have dealt, I'm telling you now, I know these people. I've worked for a company that was formed by them. And they used to say to us, he used to say to the boss, don't tell them anything about us to any job that we're on. They want to keep a mystique about his business. And it had the who dares in the uniform. And he was quite right. It keeps a mystique. And people whisper gossip to each other and say, oh, these guys can fly. These guys can fight 10 people with one go, one guy on 10 people. Not true, but I've seen one guy destroy three live. Maori Special Air Service, even more dangerous than normal, let me just tell you now. Cross a Maori and a Special Air Service training and you've got all sorts of trouble if they get into fights. That's for sure. Even though he was defending his business and he took out three guys, I never saw it. I couldn't believe what he did. If it was slowed down, I would say the guess after doing this kind of stuff would have been punched one in the throat, kicked one in the balls, and elbowed the other guy behind them. And they all went down at the same time. You're listening to Beer Talk.
No matter what. what you say.
You're listening to Conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
The art of condensation. This is Be Told, episode number 32, on June the 24th, 2025. Yeah, I was talking about random things, but yeah, the Iranian hostage crisis. This is how the SAS, and the SAS is SAS, which also means six in Egyptian or one of those ancient languages, is it Hindi or whatever? SAS, you say the word SAS and it's six. You know, 22-6, 226. Coincidentally, that was the number of the day we did the show on the Bongversation episode number 36, which we did on. Was it 36 or 37? I'm telling you, we're knocking them out of the park. Oh, no, it was 36. Doing really well, too. Really well. Good on Dave J. So anyway, SAS, Special Air Service, out of nowhere, this legend arrived. You know, they'd been around. People knew about them. If you ever watched the show Danger Man, which is what ended up becoming The Prisoner, Danger Man was the precursor to The Prisoner with Patrick McGoohan. I remember watching an episode with a guy, then they were interviewing him, saying he was served with the SAS in Britain, and you really hadn't heard much about them, apart from you're in the military, that they was well-trained, trained in signals, demolition, you know, multi-trained, multi-skilled, you know, and particularly medics as well. So one guy has replaced, say, 15 regular soldiers in the American Army. I'll just say that one. That's what they use the, you know, the left, right, potato, sergeant, major, potato peeler. They do things like the Australian building industry and the American military with the regular troops. You just do one thing usually. You're not, you know, you're a master this or a master that. You don't do everything like you do. If you join Green Berets, do a bit more. And then SEALs do same as the Special Air Service. And that's everything. So you have to be pretty proficient at shooting, very proficient at shooting, but you've got to be able to high-level. It's very clever stuff. It's like a Boy Scout on steroids, basically. That's what they are. But anyway, Iran and SAS got into the media in about 1978. And Iranians, they wanted you to hate Iranians back then. And I remember the Scouser guy going, fucking Iranians were looking at me, fucking Iranians. You know, about years later, in the 80s, he was going on about Iranians. And, you know, I've not got no problem with them. This is the highest level of mathematics and everything, and their beautiful domed architecture. Very light skinned. Have they tried to invade anyone else? No. And there's this bullshit American fucking loudmouth fucking spastic Ronald McDonald doing whatever he's told to do by the people that struck the shekels for him, etc. back in the day, going on about nuclear bunker strikes. Now, what a load of old cobblers. Now, what they probably did blow up, I suggest, the other day, probably some ancient mystical something or other. They don't like you looking at the past too much, so they probably just controlled demolition of things they don't like tourists looking at. Hopefully it wasn't any of those beautiful mosques and things like that that they've got there that are mathematically just perfect, incredible inside, blue, multicolored. I mean, this is ancient mathematics and everything, really interesting, astronomy, et cetera. A lot of it came from Iran or that area back in the day. And as the Americans, military, media, over here, overpaid, et cetera, just like they did in World War II, become incredibly unpopular to anywhere where they arrived in the Second World War, because they were well paid. They were good looking, tall, fit. They'd been fed well in America. And the poor English who had uniforms that were from the First World War. And if you want to find out about this, read Spike Milligan's War Diaries. These are really funny and very realistic about just what it was like signing up to join the British forces in 1941 or 40, whatever it was he did. Very funny books. 12 out of 10. Yeah, but so this there was this Iranian crisis, the SAS. Now, after that, they became a mainstream and a big thing. You know, all of a sudden, there was the movie Who Dares Wins came out with Lewis Collins and, believe it or not, that great Australian actress that appears in all the Woody Allen movies that lives in Balmain, mad as a hatter. And I'll speak about people I thought were mad a bit later, but not at the moment. Judy Davis. Judy Grumpy Davis was in Who Dares Wins. And it was kind of loosely based on, I thought it was more the Bader Meinhof. It was Bader Meinhof. Another interesting story about the Bader Meinhof group, so-called terrorists or splinter cell terrorists in Germany and Europe back in the 70s. But this Who Dares Wins movie came out, was a big movie. Lewis Collins did actually serve in the Territorial SAS while he was an actor in one of my favourite shows, The Professionals. If you get reincarnated as a person, I reckon coming back as Lewis Collins would have been really fun in the 70s and 80s. He's now dead, sadly, but would have had a great time because he was just that type of guy, you know. You can tell a bit of a career womanizer and a action man, you know. Fantastic. He would have had some fun. He wasn't sitting at home, doing podcasts, let's just say that. No. Probably could have done later on. So this fake bombing. Now, that's why I was mentioning Martha before. His baffling logic yesterday. Which, you know, because I was going, fucking bullshit, they're blowing up nuclear bunkers. And as he said, if it was really a nuclear bunker and there was nuclear danger of anything, do you really think they'd actually blow it up? No, they wouldn't. The danger of pollution from these isotopes, et cetera, not that they might exist, if you have to go on to a folkologist and argue that one. And that's what you'd have to do. Sean, SMJ. Isotopes, I think he pulled them to pieces. Right, anyway, so official narrative is that the Americans are blowing up bunkers in America and Iran. What a lot of codswallop, I'll repeat myself. Now, it also fed in, now, if you listen to the Bongversation 36, Dave says it's an archetype of, was it Silas? Or it's not Silas, it's getting Silas speaks. I mean, Saul, or it was some ancient thing that represented, was an archetype of this, a biblical story. And he's playing the golden one that goes in and does the same thing as the Bible story. I believe that. I'm big on this archetype thing, as you would know if you listen to truthmeets.com and the Be Told show. Archetypes are my friend. They are my friend. And that's what the media uses, archetypes. So the three explosions of nuclear sites was a biblical archetype. Fantastic work, Dave J. Up there with my, what's his name? The man who fell from the sky. D.B. Cooper, right up there with the D.B. Cooper. Because then no one goes on about this. I still haven't heard Crail or any of the other people suggesting the whole D.B. Cooper thing was just a myth. IPS certainly. He actually said that's a good find when I put it onto his site, but he never mentioned it again. No, if he talked about it on air. Doesn't like other people that might believe in weather manipulation getting any publicity, obviously. And my goodness, he spends an awful lot of time talking about something he doesn't believe in. Oh, dear. I mean, look, what's the subject that I don't give any credence to, that I don't go on about all the time? We'll bring it up. But what would that subject be? EGI? There's a there. Mandela effect? There's a there. That's Mandela effect, which has not worked, and that's why, what's his name, is now a real estate agent. Fake video. What's his name? That one. It was a gaslighting, and they trial these things. There's always a trial of a new psychological operation on the truth type community. UFOs being one, they're now almost dismissing that as being a load of old cobblers, apparently. With that Mirage Men movie, which I've not seen yet, but I've no doubt about it. I actually came to that conclusion as a 15 or 16 year old after spending too much time reading UFO books. It said that this is either dimensional craft, military craft, interdimensional, or military. This like the guy from Close Encounters that was starred in Close Encounters that's still around. I can't believe it. Jacques Vallée. Oh, I agree with Jacques Vallée's things back then, and what's his name? The late great Bill Cooper, D.B. Cooper, Bill Cooper. Now, just another thing I'll bring up again, actually, being the esoteric show that it is. The name Bill always appears on a lot of these big characters, Bill Clinton, Bill, what's his name, from Microsoft, Bill Gates. I always said if you're making a digital word using a clock, Bill looks like 611. It's identical to 611. And that isn't that number that keeps popping up everywhere, which is the inverse of 911. But Bill, if you get an 8, the two dots and the 11 for the it looks like Bill if you look at a digital clock, or 611. I mean, what I should say, but 8 could be a big B. There you go. Could be the X, the 10, the O plus 1 plus O plus 1. Anyway, I'll move on. This is getting a bit too technical. If you want to listen to this kind of stuff, Conversations. Sunday afternoons, I'll get released on Mondays. 37 coming out next Monday. This is the conversation we'll be having on that. Most people are just going, this person is completely and utterly mad, obsessed with numbers. But there are there. And this Bill thing, I'm sure of it. The dollar bill, the logo for the dollar with the snake with the two towels in between it is everywhere. Very powerful logo. Very powerful logo. Now, what else? I was going to talk about I was at the gym tonight, and the woman that I thought was completely and utterly mad, because I said I thought I've spotted it. I said this a few weeks ago, a really genuinely mad person. I could just tell by the eyes, and she was zooming around yelling at the kids, and I suddenly talked to her. And she's just a single mother with two under whatever. She is with her ex-partner, but that's why she was carrying on like that. And I thought she had that feral – this is how racist I am. I thought she was an Australian. Yes, Australian woman. And, you know, I thought that's the way she was speaking, but no, she's Canadian. She's got a nice Canadian accent. From a distance, I thought she was a feral Australian. And a really nice person. But, you know, thank God I'm the age I am, and I'm not that sleazy, womanizing type that I used to be. Not womanizing, but, you know, I was keen on females, because she, you know, she ticks all the boxes. She's, I get on with her. She's quite, you know, she's good, very, very good looking. But I'm not going to get involved, especially a single mother. I couldn't do it again. It's bad enough dealing with, and actually, no, it's fantastic after they've grown up. But when little kids can be a real nightmare if you want to have your own life. And particularly for a female. So that's why she's jumping around and telling her kids to shut up all the time. I said to her, don't worry about them making noise, because that's what kids do. And don't worry about what other people think. And, explain myself. Probably endeared myself too much to her. Anyway, I'll move on. But I would just say this for men, for women out there, this is my advice for women out there. Marry a plumber. Not a one with a qualification, not a one that's not a proper client. you need someone that can fix things. And right now, I've got plumbing issues, not bad ones, but I was thinking if I, you know, and these are things I probably could fix myself, but a plumber can just fix these things. And they make lots of money, and I've never met a bad one. Johnny's List's out there. I think he's single, girls. I think he's single. But that's my advice for females. Find a plumber, or at least a carpenter. Someone that can fix things. You do not want anyone involved in banking, psychiatrists. I don't care how much money they make. But you want a tradie that can fix things, and he'll have a happy life. Kind of. And for men, what's my advice? Always check the mother. Find out what the mother, this is, I've done this many years, I'm telling you now. You find out what their mother looks like before you get into a relationship, or what their mental stability is, what their mother's mental stability is. If they're roaming around chasing pigeons and attacking people, you don't want anything to do with the daughter. If they look fantastic and they're semi-retired or whatever, play tennis and they're active and they look great still at in their 50s or 60s or whatever, fantastic. Go for that one. But do not assume that that girl in the gym will look like that once you get into a relationship with her. I'll just tell you that. And I have never, ever gone out with a girl from the gym for that reason, because most of them are in there to try and halve their weight and keep it down till they find a bloke that they can take over as, you know, control them. And there's a lot of them do that. And I will bring this up. There's an awful lot, and I know them, of men who are absolutely now anti-women because of rumours or what happened to them when they got divorced or whatever happened. And I said, look, they're not all that bad. And I try and explain to them, this is this men moving away business thing or whatever. What are they called? It's men. Johnny's List actually knows all about it. It's something to do with about men moving away or doing things for themselves or whatever. I think that you cannot assume that they're all after your money. And if you are, this is what you do. Don't have any. And if you find one, so well and good. But yes, I'm sure there are gold diggers out there, female ones, and there's probably a lot of male. Over around here, there'll be men that are prepared to go out with an old woman. There's so many old women around where I live that's husbands, as they usually do, die because they work so hard and they're dead by 70 or whatever. And their wife carries on till their 90s, no problem whatsoever. So there's room for that type of person. Now, oh, please, I would rather clean toilets and beg on the streets than be one of these type of men that are going out. And I've seen them around here, let me tell you. You know, like a 50-year-old bloke going out with a 70-something-year-old woman. Police, honestly. I have to eat tonight. I don't even want to visualise that. But anyway, there are, and they do it. I'm telling you now. Be told. Mm. He says, drinking beer, and getting another one. And why not? Why wouldn't he do that? it's basically like male feminism. You know, it's anti-female men that think that everyone's out, you know, and honestly, they just send, I'm not joking, you get up to 5 to 6 to 7 anti-female YouTubes a day from these people about, you know, how, you know, what women are really after and blah, 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 blah. Now, if this was the case, and it's not, I'm telling you it's not, he says, opening the beer. Could you hear that? Fantastic. Good special effects. I have been, I've never had money, so I've never had to worry about this. Never had money. I've had enough to eat every day and pay rent or mortgages and things like that. There are people out there, dummies, blokes, you know, that, you know, have lots of money and they meet some lunatic and she takes it all off them. It does happen, but they're not all. Are you all listening?
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
I'm back on. That was a very short bumper, Joel. Can you make them a bit longer? Sorry. This is B-Told episode number 32 on the 24th of June 2025. We're talking about men. Was it men moving away? What are they called? There's something like that. Honestly, and then they had that guy that was in his brother, or that fighter guy that's everyone knows about, that I, you know, I had to watch, and yeah, I agree with some of the stuff he said, just like
Jordan Peterson is unwell.
It was another one. They all come out with this kind of this male positivity, which is kind of good, but a lot of them took it and ran with it, and it became like militant feminist males, or but maleists. Is that what the word is? Manalists, or whatever. And you get the conversation. I've got one friend who just sends me nothing but anti-female stuff, you know, about they're all out to get you. And he's single, no children. He had a beautiful girlfriend, and that she sadly passed away. And I can understand he's kind of upset about that. And I think maybe it didn't end as well, whatever. But I said they're not all that bad. Because I got this group of people telling me that I was going to get done for when I split up with my ex. And I split up. She was going to take the lot, and I was going to. No, she didn't. She was fantastic. Just still grumpy, bitter, angry as usual, but it's fantastic. She did the right thing. And her children will have the same family house that they grew up in for once. All the places we moved continuously from, they've got a part of their childhood still exists, just like I do in New Zealand, still exists in the family. You got to have some kind of rock or something in your memory of your childhood, I think. I think otherwise, I don't know. So I just think it's not good. But these guys, women and men are obviously very different. I've worked that one out. But you can have fantastic relationships, you know. Some people are luckily that find them and they stay together, and it's wonderful. Not very many, I'll just say that. I haven't. I mean, look. I've had some great times. Have I got regrets? Yes. I've got more regrets than you would ever care to know about. And these are the regrets of the ones that I should have chased after and I didn't. There you go. Oh, my God, I lie in bed and honestly, I've got a whole file of facts full of ones, the ones that got away that I should have and could have been with and I didn't. And I have big regrets. So would I come back and do it all again? No. No. But I tell you, there's some big regrets out there. That song, Regrets, I have a few, but then again, too few to mention, does not apply to me. I've got lists and lists and lists in alphabetical running order of regrets. That is for sure. But interesting that we're going into this kind of what are we going into? Now, I said to Rollo the other night, and we played the fantastic metal song, Something Wicked This Way Comes by Nuclear Assault, which would have been more actually probably better for this show, actually, because I tend to go on about more of these things. But the nuclear thing is in the media like you would not believe, as I just said before. And we know and we knew this was coming because of Oppenheimer. They do not spend that amount of money on promotion and actors, that Cillian Murphy weirdo. What a strange-looking guy. And all those other people that produced that movie, those brothers, or the guy that's Batman, I like his movies, love his movies. But this was just like Pearl Harbor in 2001. They had to get the nuclear thing back into your head. And so therefore the media is going to be full of nuclear. And as we know, this is the load of old cobblers. Even Frank, who's got a degree in nuclear science or nuclear physics or whatever, he now just thinks it was a load of old cobblers as well. So he's got the qualifications to say that. I haven't. But I thought this in 19... I can tell you now. I can show you the book. Tell you the book. It was... what's his name? Barry Smith's book, where he said that he was in contact with the other guy that had got his book. What's his name? Captain Bruce L. Cathy from New Zealand, who said that he worked out that every time they did these bombs, they're on a exact same time frame and latitude and longitude, etc. So it was all numbers that he was picking up on a pattern. And he said, "Oh, there should be one. If this is right, there should be one, a test in Mururoa on this date." It was probably the 11th or the 6th. I'll hazard a guess. And he got a visit from the intelligence agencies, apparently, and they said, how did you know they were going to do that? When he just picked up on the random patterns, which could be Jurassic Lies, the 6-11 pattern, highly likely. And I remember thinking, yeah, because I said, why would they ever have a bomb or a weapon that can actually destroy the Earth so that you can't use it for 25,000 years? Because that was the official story. Of, you know, the radiation was so toxic from a nuclear blast or atomic bomb. Now, anyone that went to, knows Hiroshima and Nagasaki was still trading and active weeks after the bombs that went over there back in 1945. So, you know, I put my own logic in there, and I said, I don't believe in it. I think this is man-made fake. And I'm pretty much guaranteed that I'm right. Still to this day. So they're saying that the you know, Donald Trump and his fans, and he's got like Rollo, even Rollo's backing down, but there's not purple play. That woman is, I think she's got a giant Q hat on, possibly. She's determined to think that that it's going on. There's a nuclear, that Trump's selectively blowing up Biden and what's his name? final solution. Barack Obama. Final solution. He didn't say that. It was final solution. That was Bill Gates. Final solution. Final solution. That's how he would have said it there. Final solution. Now, the whole lot of them work together. There's no difference between the Clintons and Trump. There's no difference. These are all good friends, and all these people are on the same non-government organisations, like the groups, like the Aspen Society and the Wellcome Society. They feature all these same people that allegedly on one side of politics and the other one isn't. So it's a total scam. And this is why there's not many females that actually I recommend getting into conspiracy theory, and she's one of them. She believes too much, and she needs to step out of the step off the train that she's on and work. She knows enough to know that would be a load of old cobblers, but she thinks that the American Democrats are getting destroyed by the great people, the white hats. This is a vibe I'm getting off her. Prove me wrong, madam. Prove me wrong. You're quite welcome to come on and have a debate on the subject, or tell me how wrong I am, and I'm quite happy for that. Next week, do it. Otherwise, she does some really good stuff, and she's on the truthmeets.com, and does a show with Vera Licious, who's they gone on holiday, so I haven't heard from them. There's a she married a plumber. I'm telling you, and a chef. I mean, that guy, what's his name? D-Train. What a score, ladies. A plumber and a chef. This is unbelievable. You know, that'd be the perfect score for most, a woman that wants a happy household. They can cook and fix your leaky taps and unblock the toilet. Incredible skills. This is like Superman level, plumber and chef. What else could be the one thing better and be a gynecologist as well? Plumber, chef, gynecologist. joking, but that'll be handy. Very similar plumbing, more complex for the female, though, for sure. Now, should I keep talking? What was it? Nuclear bombs, fake, which is 100%. 100%. Just look into Lookout Mountain, pardon the pun. That's where they filmed all those special effects. I've had a guy who's a top-level special effects expert who worked on The Matrix, right, and big movies. Did that, you know, he was a special, did explosives and bullet strikes. Squibs, a squib expert. He, when I told him that nuclear bomb, he nearly felt, he said, no way, and he shared me this footage of some American vessels surrounding, this is the worst I've ever seen too, it was, this giant explosion goes off, and what would be a wave of about, you know, 400 feet high comes at the same speed as the explosion and towards the ships. And I said, if that was real, that all would be dead. Everyone in those ships around that would have been killed by this giant explosion. And I said, it's just staged. I said, that's just a Lookout Mountain job. And he doesn't talk to me much anymore. What would that be? He does, but we don't mention that subject. Well, people want to believe in their giant bomb deity, because it is what it is. That's a good idea for a song. I could play that one, and I think we will. Have I ever played on the Be Told show? Michael Hutchence's band singing that song, Way of the World. I don't think we have. Maybe I'll play it another time. I think we played it on the Rick and Roller show a few times. Fantastic. Whether it was Love or the Bomb, it's just the same. It's only Fear under another name. God or the Bomb, sorry. God or the Bomb, it's just the same. It's only Fear and under another name. But whether you fear a giant retributive god or a nuclear bomb, you're controlled by fear. Not a loving god. They're not talking about a loving god. They're talking about an angry, jealous god that you see in the Old Testament. Dave suggests is actually not the loving god that, in the New Testament. And I totally agree with that. The shellfish one. Or could that be this Leviticus that my atheist brother continually reminds me about shellfish? Now, to be honest, me being into Chinese medicine, when I had a minor hernia years ago, umbilical one, in the belly button, and my Chinese doctor, he said, whatever you do when you have an operation, like, do not eat shellfish, prawns, or anything like that, because if you've got a cold or you're sick, never ever eat shellfish or prawns. So the Leviticus could be 100% correct about not eating bottom-dwelling ocean crustaceans. Also, there's a whole lot of things in Leviticus. I haven't honestly read it. But my brother, an atheist, has read it five times, the whole Bible. Can quote any bit of it off the top of his head. Frank, not bad. Dave, 100%, very good. He's read the book. And can quote the numbers as well. It's baffling that people can do that off the top of their head. I can tell you all about a band. A bass player that might have played for that band or whatever. I've retained that useless information, but as far as numbers of chapters of huge big books, they've got too many words for a person with mild dyslexia like myself to actually be able to sit and read. Maybe I should get the audio version. Is there a safe one? Someone have to send a link for it, a safe actual KJV. An expurgated one. It's actually got all the right bits in it. Because guess what? They'll even start removing it. And they did with this Mandela effect thing. They were saying that they've changed the Bible left, right, and center. And there are so many people out there that actually believe this, that the lamb will lie with the wolf instead of the lion. I think they got changed. Christ was crucified on a tree, according to the New Earth, on a cross. And I do believe in the song on Jesus Christ Superstar 1969, Ian Gillan's great playing Jesus, and what a great voice that guy has. I do remember it says, "Nail me to your tree," in that lyric to Gethsemane. Is it Gethsemane? The Garden of Gethsemane, or whatever. So it was already in there, so it must be a vague reference. And the Mandela effect got hold of it and said, wasn't it cross? Wasn't it cross? The thinker, I think the great previous host, one of our co-hosts of the FART, Folkologists Australia Roundtable podcast, Noise Level, clever guy, he reckons that the thinker's changed his head position, that he's got his hand on his chin, on his head, not his chin. And the statue's changed. And I said, really? To me, it's I go with the Monty Python. There's Terry Gilliam did a great animation of the thinker, and he starts playing the flute with his fingers or whatever along, using the thinking man statue. I'll have to have a look at that, check it out. I might just mute for a little bit, and I'll be back, be toured, if I can do that. I made an appearance, two appearances on the Folkologist, audiofolkologist.com on the weekend. Can't remember anything I said, but I was talking to Frank on Sunday, and I went away, and there he came back on, the prodigal son, John Le Bon, back again. And I went back on there, and I thought, I wonder if he's playing me. And sure enough, I could hear my voice. I wasn't even on there. I've got to say I'm complimented that he would keep using my voice. Grabs me and Abby made one up. Apparently it was Joel who was playing one of me, though, so it wasn't John Le Bon. Joel was over there as well. So they kissed and made up, I take it, Ab and Joel. As they should. And I can't remember any of it. I have to listen to it, but it's on Folkologist audio chats Friday night. Saturday night I went on and I spoke to Greg Shantz and Jabe Day. That's not Dave J. That's the what's his name from Rhode Island. And I was back on there on the Sunday night for about maybe half an hour, an hour. Were they good? Was I saying anything? You're listening to Be Told.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the donate link. Click on the donate link.
Very good. What a wonderful bumper. That was obviously Sarah singing there, just joking, but it could have been. Could have been. Click on the donut link, as Klaus Schwab from the World Economic the previous head of the World Economic Forum said. Now, interesting that Klaus, who's a regular guest on a lot of shows I've been on over the last 5 years, he made very many appearances in Rollo's shows. Him and Rollo, he's a very good friend of Rollo's. He never comes on when I'm on. I'm never there. But he comes on, a black helicopter arrives down the back of my house. He scuttles up with his black coat on and takes my phone when I'm usually gone to the toilet for whatever I have to do. And he talks. Now, interesting that Klaus and the Pope retired at 88 on the same day. There's a there, a big there. And I think 88 equals 7, Dave. Would that be right? 8 and 8, 16, number 7. Now, there's a there. There's double 7 there. Double 7, Crowley, beware. I listened to another guy, William Ramsey, as opposed to Randy, James Randy, the guy that used to go around disproving psychics, very interesting character. But what's his name? David Icke has nothing good to say about him, because apparently James Randi went after David Icke And David Icke got some real dirt on him. Oh, yes, he did. This is years ago. I've been around for years. I'll say that again. And I had my ex partner buy me for Christmas one year in 97, or 90, in 97, the both The Truth Will Set You Free by David Icke and another book by David Icke. And I remember reading them, fucking hell, how can, because I knew everything they said I'd read before, but he put it all together really well. But I remember thinking, how could one guy come up and do that many books that big and still have a life and still go to the toilet and, cook his dinner? I'd suggest there was a whole lot of people writing for him. He had a team, or maybe had an early AI. I doubt that, but they were very, very good if you wanted to get into the subject. But he took you off the garden path and went into all sorts of weird places, David Icke. And, this is where the reptilian thing came on, and it made conspiracy theorists look like lunatics for many, many years. But he does some good stuff. Yes, he does. He's done some good stuff. But Alan Watts said nothing good about it. He thinks that he ripped him off, and probably did. Yes, having some beer. Put a complaint in. Anyone? He's drinking beer while he's talking. If you live in Australia or New Zealand, the average guy is having a conversation with you will be drinking beer as he's talking to you. That's just the way it is. So get used to it, you strange people that would complain about hearing someone drinking beer as he talks. That's the way it is. Even if you were here for real life, I'd still be having a mouthful of beers. I'm standing right in front of you. So you're just hearing the real Rick. No ex-military, no ex-government, no ex-anything. I did say once that I worked for a government security company, but there was a subcontracting company that was contracting to the government, whose phone number, get this, was 13911. 13911. Probably still is. And I worked for the Department of Education, and I got to see bureaucrats and politicians firsthand and talk to their ministerial drivers, where I got the best gossip. I'll just tell you now. If you want to speak to someone about getting a gossip about political types, speak to the people that drive them around at night time. I'll just say that one. And I heard all the best stuff. Be told. My goodness gracious me. But, I worked for this government company, and I used to sit there watching these weirdos that work for the Department of Education, and they are the heads of them, just real weirdos that are in charge of your children's education system, I'd be told. I've seen it. I've been there. I saw it. At night, I was reading the David Icke books while I was there. And that's the fabulous job of security. Now, here's another thing I recommend. If they still pay penalty rates, a lot of them don't. If you like to sit there and twiddle your thumbs and Google and do whatever, get a job as a night security person. You'll get paid to sit there and twiddle your thumbs and play on your mobile phone. You'll be paid for it. And I was very smart because companies like the look, because I looked like the kind of person you'd back then. I was, weight training and, crew cut hair and looked like the kind of guy you didn't want to, you'd want as a security guard. So the guys that handed out the work were always going, oh, what kind of shifts do you want, Rick? And I'd say the weekends, because I knew penalty rates. And so I could do a 24-hour shift over the weekend and make as much money as most people were making doing 9 to 5 Monday to Friday over 2 days. So I did so. And guess what I did? I read books and I read magazines, and not magazines like Playboy, even though there's some great articles in Playboy magazine. I read Nexus, New Dawns. I went to the esoteric bookshop in Surrey Hills, the greatest bookshop that does not exist anymore. And I took books with me, and that's why I know so many things, and I can talk off the top of my head for hours and hours and hours on any subject because I read a lot. And but if you want to get paid to do it, get a job as a security guard and just say you'll do night security or weekend work on whatever, and you go to work, and all you have to worry about is what you're going to eat for that day, what you're going to drink, and what you're going to feed your mind with. And I fed my mind pre-computers and at the smartphones with magazine after magazine after magazine and book after book. And so I was getting paid to learn. So I highly recommend it for you out there. I've been doing a lot of advice tonight. Again, women, marry a plumber or a carpenter, not a concreter. They're only good for one thing. Men, check out what their mother's, your prospective wife or girlfriend's mother looks like now, and is she standing on the street waving an umbrella and attacking pigeons? Move on from that one. Just good advice, solid, real good advice on the Be Told episode number 32, guaranteed. This week, I think Rollo's moving into his new house. Fantastic. I'll have to go and visit him. I may do that. I may do that. Christy must be so happy. She can actually get up in the morning and walk down without hearing someone screaming or watching. What does he watch? American Dad, not American Dad. What's that other one? Family Guy, Dad's Army, Heidi High, 8 Half Hot Mum, Doctor Who, a non-stop, on a repeat cycle. On a repeat cycle. Does he go to the gym? No. He should. Does he go to work? No. He should. But that's why he can talk so well on a Saturday night on the Rick and Rollo show, because he can talk about any old TV show, any old book, any episode of Doctor Who, boom, off the top of his head. Off the top of his head, which I love. That's why I like doing Rick and Rollo shows. One of my favorite shows, the Bongversation, is even better because I don't even have to do anything. I can just sit there and listen and bump, say something every now and then. It's fantastic. Great to have someone that talks more than you do and knows more than you do about these things. Good. Now, I'm not going to do a great long show tonight, but I will keep talking about what else can I talk about? David Icke, I still think it's worth looking into some of his stuff. But as far the reptilian thing, there could be a there with some of it. But I think he was just made the average conspiracy theorist look like a lunatic back in the day. Shape-shifting lizard people. The queen, turning into a lizard. The fact her name was Elizabeth was a bit of a giveaway. Maybe she could have been. And apparently at the moment, Ghislaine Maxwell's in court, which would be interesting because I don't think anything will happen. I don't think she's even in jail. I don't think her father's dead. I'm the only person to say that her father faked his death. I bet you he did. Prove me wrong. And he's probably back in England roaming around dressed up as an Arab with a pair of dark glasses and a beard, and no one would know. No one would know. He's a big guy too. A very interesting character, Robert Maxwell. Fake name. That's not his surname. Guaranteed now. Would have been something else. A very interesting character, not a nice guy too, according to his staff and people that knew him. Like, he would get on say there was a soiree on the top of his building, he would just walk over to the edge of the building and urinate off public below and get off on that. And that's the kind of people that are running up there, pissing on top of you and telling it's raining. He did that. That was one of his things. Plus, the cleaners, and I feel sorry for them because I identify with them, of the little old ladies probably cleaning his office. He would just use the towels as to wipe his bum on instead of using toilet paper and just leave it hanging on the thing. That's the kind of guy he was. Nasty piece of work. Still alive, I would say. If not, he's only died recently. He did not drown in that story that you got in the media. Guaranteed. Prove me wrong. I've got no proof of this. I'm just the fact that he had a Spanish death certificate, and I'm the sole person on the whole planet that has exposed Spanish death certificates. That if they've got a Spanish death certificate, there's something to do with the Catholic gang and Spanish death certificates, where you can legally, your straw man can end, and you can just take up a new role somewhere else, probably in a resort somewhere, in one of these many tax dodging countries all around the world, Bahamas, blah blah blah, and you know, just grow a beard and dress up as an Arab and visit England whenever you want to. I'm telling you now. Has anyone else said this? No. Total exclusives on the Be Told show. As usual, I try and have an exclusive every now and then, you know, so that no one else has said. William Ramsey had a fantastic interview with a guy about this. I won't be able to remember his name, but he was apparently a film producer, a writer that died. Now, sidetracking here. If a story is not pushed at you that you must know, then it's fake. If it's faked, if it's pushed by the media, if you don't hear about it and you have to find it on an obscure podcast and you look into it and the guy actually produced all his movies with Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger and that, and he was also working at trying to expose the CIA for what they did in Panama, which I'm telling you now, I actually met a guy that was a soldier there, big, gung-ho, nasty type. American in the Green Berets, and he told me, you know, he was like saying they're over there, and they were on shoot to kill, like that Star Trek song, Star Trekking. Really nasty, and they went in there because that was it Noriega or what was his name, the guy that in Panama, he had been doing a Epstein and getting, you know, using honey traps and children and, you know, young people, you know, to get dirt on people. And he had a whole list of politicians and everything that he'd, you know, his drug empire had got dirt on so they could possibly control them. So the military went in there and got rid of him and found where all his stuff was. Now, this isn't the mainstream story. This is just what really happened there, I would say. And William Ramsey interviews this guy who wrote a book 10 years ago and became a movie. So they released the movie version of it, a documentary, and apparently it was fantastic. And then out of the blue, the director decided to take all copies and re-edit them and take out a lot of the actual good stuff. Now, this is what you need to look into as a conspiracy theorist. What wasn't and what they took out, et cetera, et cetera. So, look, if you look at, go to William Ramsey's site and just binge listen for about five or six episodes, you'll find this guy. I'll try and do it now, actually, so I can actually give you the name of the episode. Now, this guy was a script writer. He was one of those characters in real life that he was a, you know, womanizer. He went out with looks, you know, he was just a real character. He had a great sense of humor. And he wrote a lot of good, you know, action stuff, including that Dogs of War, which had Tom Berenger in 1981 about mercenaries. Good movie. Now I'm going to go through and find this before I go to give you this great information of a good show. Usually, what we do is put the stuff on the Rick and Rollo Discord site and the recommended podcast. They've got a lot of guys on there that are Now, interestingly, the guy that this English writer, it's called The Man with No Hands, The Life and Death of Screenwriter Gary DeVore, that's DeVore, with Matt Alford. Highly recommend that show. And you can hear the frustration in his voice that, you know, he just felt that he was completely ripped off. He did this great stuff, and then the director turned around and ruined it for him. And but Quince is he's also, I think he's something to do with Tom Secker, and I actually was on, you know, chatted to him a bit digitally, you know, on emails back in the day, because he turned up and he did a lot of pretty good stuff, but then all of a sudden he turned on Alan Watt big time, and I thought, why would you suddenly just start doing that and rubbishing another truther? I always am suspicious about that. Secker, that is. And then I stopped having anything to do with them. But this book, and about the military involvement with movies, is highly recommended. The Man with No Hands, because apparently this guy was on his way to a meeting or whatever, disappeared, and they found his body about a year later with his hands missing. And the official government said, nothing suspicious. His hands just rotted first while he was in the pond that they found him in. 1 year later, and I went bang, boom, straight. This is suspicious, 100% guaranteed. These things do go on. I mean, if you don't think that there are nasty people out there that would actually do things like that, that you, if you're ruining their plans, they won't do something to you. You're wrong. They will. Just look at the jails. Are they all in there innocent? Is every murderer and every killer in there completely innocent? No, no. They might tell you that, but no, they're not all innocent. There are killers out there, demons and killers for sure. Yeah, so I might wind it up, and I'm going to play this fantastic. Well, Joel's going to do it, actually. I can't do it. The Chamber Brothers, Time, the song Time. Is it Time? I'll just double check on that one, actually. I don't want to say the wrong song. Chamber Brothers. What's the song called? Time Has Come Today. Interesting song. It was, you know, came out in the Vietnam era when things were going down sideways, left, right, and centre. But it's a very relevant song today. It's a fantastic song. I love it. What's the name? The New York band that sort of thrash rockers, they did a cover version of it, the Ramones. But this is better. This is the original version by the Chamber Brothers. So now next week, episode 33, it'll be a special show. I can't remember what I'm going to do. I haven't even thought about it yet, but it'll be good. So wonderful. I'll keep them short these days. And as I said, Rick and Rollo's shows are on truthmeets.com. Always interesting. Less conspiracy, more. Y'all listening to B.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to another conversation
or your affiliation
on truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
You're on truthmeets.com, as you just heard, and you're listening to Rick and the episode number 32 of the Be Told Show. Going really well. Interesting babble here. Lots of different conversations, lots of different subjects. That's the way I like it too. And that's why I like, even though he's obsessed with going on about chemtrails, that it exists, IPS, changes the subject continuously. I love it. I don't want to hear the same boring subject all the time. I like moving around, having a, what do you call it, organic conversation with someone with ADD. Anyway, we're going to wind it up now, and we're going to go out with the Chamber Brothers, Time Will Come Today, which is a great song, I'm telling you now. So, yeah, so back to next Tuesday night for the episode number 33. Hopefully Mark will make it, or someone else, whatever. So I don't really I can talk by myself, or I can have a guest. It doesn't worry me. Be told. So see you later. Thanks, guys. And we're going to hear the Chamber Brothers. One and a two and a three and a one, two, three. Wait for it. Now.